Just a little more time is all we're asking for. Just a little more time could open doors and doors. Just a little long start and tea can bring it down.
Good evening, and welcome to the 43rd podcast of the Never Give Up Show. I'm Bailey Smith, your host. I'm going to give out our phone number. Please call in and join our incredible guest tonight, 516-531-9643, 516-531-9643. We are also on live on blogtalkradio.com/friendstalk, the Never Give Up Show. I have such a long introduction. Okay. First of all, I'm incredibly, I always say that I'm incredibly honored to have each one of my guests. But tonight's guest is incredible, and I'm so thankful for her for being my guest tonight. And today happens to be a very special day for her and for all of us. So before I introduce her, I just want to remind everybody, January is National Stalking Awareness Month. I would like to say that mother of a person I had reached out to a while back when I saw her story, her tragedy. I don't remember social media, the news, and I said, I know you're going through a lot right now, but you have a voice, unfortunately. And when you're ready to use it, I'd love to have you on my show, which unfortunately that didn't happen yet, and that's why her mother's on tonight. I did not know at the time that she had already started reaching out to our legislation and writing up a law and bill, whatever. And I have, since I started my show, I've always talked about trying to get laws changed, and unfortunately it took a tragedy for it to happen. But through her, I was able to meet some incredible people, and get involved in helping with the legislation. And so I want to thank her for that, because she doesn't realize how many people she connected through this tragedy. And I always say a tragedy happens, and the only way we get through tragedies is if there's meaning behind it, if something good comes out of it. And there's never good out of a tragedy, but hopefully with this tragedy, good will come out, or change will come out. So tonight's guest is Ronnie Kessler, sharing the story of her daughter, Allie Kessler, and her grandson, Grayson Kessler. Allie was in Tallahassee today, speaking at Senate in legislation to get Grayson's law passed, and I will get into that in a minute. And her mom, I had asked her mom if she could speak on her behalf, and she was a yes right away, no problems, no issues, and thank you again, Ronnie. Allie gave me a very, very long intro. I'm not going to read all of it because we'll get into it throughout the show, but She says, my name is Allie Kessler. I'm not only a protective parent advocate, but I'm a mom who just lost my 4.5-year-old son to a suicide just a few months ago. Grayson's death was 100% preventable, but judges denied injunctions and restraining orders, citing there wasn't enough evidence. But there was. They just chose to ignore it. Giving power to parents' rights first, not child safety. Grayson Kessler was 4 years old when his father murdered him during their court-ordered parenting time in the midst of a high-conflict custody battle in Fort Lauderdale. I was a single mom from the very beginning. Grayson's father wanted nothing to do with us until he filed a paternity case when Grayson was 6 months old, for which he was instantly awarded 50% joint. I was in an ongoing battle to protect my son despite years of evidence, including threats, degrading texts, violations of signed agreements, refusals to pay for school and activities, refusals to agree on anything, and then finally cyber-stalked and tracking devices on my car. And then I filed a petition for domestic violence injunction the day before Grayson was killed, which was denied. I also begged for an emergency pickup order when Grayson was missing from school for 2 days, and that was also denied. And this is so unfortunate because if things would have gone the way they should have, Grayson would still be alive. I feel like I know him. I've seen so many videos and pictures of him. And it's so unfortunate that we have to have deaths, especially of innocent children, never asked to be born, who come into this world so innocent and through such horrific hate and evil and sociopathic behavior. This happens, and it happens way too often in the news. Just last week, a 9-month-old baby was murdered. I mean, I could go on and on, but I'm not. I'm going to bring on our guest. Again, our call number is 516-531-9643. I'm going to bring on Ronnie. Welcome,
Ronnie. You're on.
Yes, hello. Here. Thank you for having me again.
I didn't hear what you said.
I said thank you for having me on your blog talk show.
Thank you for being on. Thank you for agreeing. I've asked Allie a million times. But we know she's dealing with a lot. So, having Ronnie on as mom and Grayson's grandma, we get to hear double story. From your perspective, from Allie's perspective. So let's start from the beginning. Obviously we'll get more into what Allie wrote, but a little bit of a background where people might not know how she met Grayson's father, if you don't mind.
I'm not 100% sure. I know they dated on and off for a couple of months, and then oops happened, and she spoke to me about it, and she said, what should I do? And I said, well, whatever you decide to do, I'm 100% behind you, whatever your decision. The father, John Stacy, wanted her to have an abortion. He said he didn't want to have anything to do with the baby or her. Sent her a nasty, nasty text calling her all kinds of filthy names and things like that. And you know, from seeing all his texts from the get-go, I knew this guy was a narcissistic psychopath. And red flags went up right away. I don't know if you know it, but when Grayson was born, I had the privilege of cutting his cord. Allie and I and the baby lived together till shortly before his death. I have been emotionally, physically, and financially devastated by all this. Every day I cry. I miss that child as though he were my own. And what can I tell you? This definitely could have been prevented. all the judges involved need to walk down the walk of shame, including the Fort Lauderdale Police Department, in my opinion, mm-hmm. because they did nothing when they could have saved his life. Grayson was an adorable, smart, sweet, giving, loving, sharing little boy. As I said, you know, we lived together. The only times I didn't see him was when he was with his father. It used to break my heart when I used to see him go kicking and screaming because he didn't mm-hmm. want to go. And then when he came back, I would be witness to the night terrors he would have, and I just always suspected something was off. And unfortunately, I was proven right, but my hands were tied. There was nothing I could do.
So let's go back for a split second. So Allie got pregnant, and John had said, I don't want to have anything to do with this baby. And she moved out to Florida. She was living in New York at the time, right?
Yes. And she moved up here. So she, you know, when she made her decision as to what she wanted to do, which I told her I would be 100% on board with, I was actually kind of thrilled. She moved up here, and we moved in together. And then a little bundle of joy was born. Begged her not to tell John, but she did. She felt that he had a right to know.
And he had no interest at first.
No. But 6 months later, he decided to have a paternity test done, and he did that, and then he filed for custody,
so
which a judge never should have awarded.
Right.
He moved.
He still living in New York at the time?
He was living in New Jersey. He moved to New York, to Florida, when Grayson was about 6 months old.
Mm-hmm. What do you think made him change his mind?
Maybe his mother, I don't know. I think he was delusional. I think he wanted to maybe pursue interest in Allison and have a relationship and, you know, so on and so forth, because he was crazy. She didn't want to have anything to do with him at that point because, as I said, for the whole 6 months, in the early part of her pregnancy, he just kept sending her nasty notes and degrading messages and things that you just wouldn't believe anybody could put down on paper.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, was his family involved in Grayson's life?
Shortly after he moved up, I don't remember exactly. I think it might have been Mother's Day, his parents came down to Florida to visit and meet the baby, his mother and his stepfather. And I think maybe one or two of his sisters came also, and we all went out to dinner together.
Mm-hmm. So, and that was it? That was like the first and last time that they were, you
know, well,
that you
was the last
time
I saw them. He on one of his vacation times, when I think Grayson was about 1.5 or 2, I'm not quite sure, he went to visit his family. They rented something in North Carolina during the summer for a week. He took Grayson there, and he spent some time with his family.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So
other than that, we didn't have any contact with them or anything like that.
Because I know Allie had told me that she had mentioned that they haven't even reached out to her at all.
Nope.
Since the death. So,
no.
She
did post something on some website, I don't remember what it was, blaming Allison for causing John to take such a drastic
Well, now we know where he gets his narcissistic behavior from.
Yeah, and I wanted to answer her, but I was advised by legal counsel not to keep my mouth
right.
shut.
Yeah. The best
I would have laid her out.
The best revenge is silence.
I know.
Sometimes. You know? They should be embarrassed enough, you know, to...
Well,
to
I understand
not even
her mother tried to commit suicide. She tried to commit suicide, but it didn't work.
His mother?
Yes, she tried to commit suicide after the murders.
Wow.
She wasn't successful, so she's still around. And I also always knew that she knew that her son was unstable. After all, he was a cult member of the Moonies. He was married, like, in Madison Square Garden to one of their gods or whatever. He admittedly had post-traumatic stress syndrome. He was taking all kinds of medications. The truth of the matter is he should have never been granted custody without being vetted.
Right. And Allie never requested a psych eval or anything?
She did. She went through her lawyer 3 or 4 times, if I remember, and her lawyer dropped the ball. She also had him in contempt, held him in contempt for cyber stalking.
Well, let's take a step back. Okay, finish your thought. I don't want you to forget what you were saying.
No, he was cyber-stalking her. So from that point on, once he was holding contempt, they had to go onto one of these parenting apps to communicate.
Right.
And only
right.
to communicate about pickups and, you know, things that were necessary, medical emergencies.
He didn't stick to that, right?
He didn't stick to that. And, again, her lawyer dropped the ball and didn't refile the contempt motions. No, nothing was done. In my opinion, her lawyer was completely negligent.
Yeah,
she did not do what's called due diligence.
Sometimes we have to take certain things in our own hands. And I didn't get a chance to ask her. I think I asked you this question, and I'm not sure if you knew the answer. But, you know, because I went through that post-separation of stalking and harassment. And I filed each thing with the police. Not that they did anything, but I had a history that was
mm-hmm.
in police reports. And that's why I always tell everybody police reports have to be written properly with the truth. In those days, like five years ago, you wrote a statement and you got, you know, the carbon copy and
mm-hmm.
you know, when I would get the actual police report, they didn't write anything from what I had written. You know, they just kept writing whatever they felt like writing and supplementing. But at least I had a history. I had established a history and a pattern of this behavior. And I don't think
mm-hmm.
that Allie ever did that up until that last unfortunate week or two or whatever it was. She
well,
went to
she
her
did
lawyer.
Her lawyer for
right.
years. I mean, you know, she went to her lawyer and supposedly
her lawyer submitted
documents to the court, et cetera, on her behalf. But I know at one point in time he was actually held in contempt, and that's when he was forced to only use the parenting app. But then he just did what the heck he wanted.
Right. They have no self-control. Yeah, I know.
Right.
So every time he
did something like that, she'd make a hard copy and forwarded it to her lawyer.
Right. Who should have said to her, go file a restraining order. Take that and go to the court, clerk of court, with your proof, you know, with your hard copy, or call the police, have them write up a police report, a proper police report, exactly with what it says, and then take that police report, hard copy, and go to the clerk of court and have them help you fill out a restraining order.
Well, I guess...
That's what her lawyer should have told her.
Right. I don't think she was given any of that information, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm sure if she was, she would have done it. That I know she would have. She would not have dropped the ball. But I guess she just felt her lawyer knew what she was doing.
Right. That's very sad. We do have two people so far that have called in. I'm going to bring on Darlene from Tennessee. She's one of my regulars, one of my big supporters. Hi, Darlene.
Hello.
How are you?
I am pretty good. I hit my stupid head again, you know. So I'm having head pains. It's got too many traumatic brain injuries, and I just keep hitting my head.
Well, you got to stop hitting your head.
Exactly. I need a football helmet to wear all the time or something.
You're funny. Well, welcome. You know, we've been talking on we've been talking, you know, the last couple of shows about Grayson, Grayson's Law. I'm sure you've heard. This is Grayson's grandma on the phone, and his mom, Allie, was up in Tallahassee today.
Tallahassee, Florida.
Yes. At the Senate.
I used to live there.
Oh, really? Well, from what I hear, it's freezing. I know where I am right now, it's like 50 degrees, and that's cold for us anyway. So she's up there trying to get Grayson's Law passed. I think our first round went great. Her mom, Ronnie, agreed to be on the show today, moderating Allie's story. Any questions, anything you'd like to ask? I mean, we haven't really delved into a lot of the story yet, but
I got confused about which state it really happened in. I thought it happened in Tennessee, did it?
No, it happened here in Florida. Right here, not far from me. Ronnie,
I thought
he live in Pompano? Ronnie.
Happened in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, Fort Lauderdale. For some reason, I thought he lived in Pompano. Okay.
No, it was around the Las Olas area.
Oh, okay.
Not
so about like 20 miles from me. That's 20, 25 miles from me. What were you going to ask, Darlene? What was it?
Did y'all get any of that tornadic weather?
No, the tornado passed over us.
Thank God.
Is that what you're asking? Yeah.
No, it hit Fort Myers.
Right, it didn't hit.
Yeah.
It hit Fort Myers? Really?
Yes, it really did a lot of damage. It's horrible.
Did a lot of damage in Fort Myers.
Really, my ex-boyfriend was there. I better call him. Oh, well. Darlene, do you have any questions for Ronnie?
Well, I wanted to make a statement.
Okay,
I have been watching this thing on YouTube for a while about this missing girl here in Tennessee, Summer Wells. And watching that, I came across this group that's going from state to state making laws. Trying to make a law of SOCA or something like that, which bringing the children home from their sex trafficking and stuff.
Interesting. Send me info about it.
Okay, I will. And so I've been really learning more, taking notes about that and everything, you know. And anything that helps to, and we had this case not too long ago, I guess a year or two ago. And this little girl, Boswell, she'd been missing for a long time, and nobody reported her missing. Said, well, we seen her for about 5-6 months, maybe, or something like that. No parent reported it or nothing. Then they found her bones in the yard, the shallow grave.
Terrible.
And it's just like an 18-month-old or 16-month-old little girl, y'all.
That's terrible.
So then they found her name. They went ahead and made a law using her name here because, having a statute, having it like you got so long to report a child missing. Like, if your child's missing right away, you know, you need to go ahead and report it, you know. You don't need to wait,
right.
like, 20 months.
Right. I'm glad to hear that. And like I said, laws should not be created after a death, but to prevent the death.
Exactly. My thoughts and prayers are with you.
Ronnie's an amazing support. Ronnie's an incredible support to her daughter, and her daughter, I don't know whether she's still numb or she's just in like in a living in a whirlwind of probably not reality, but she has been fighting and is incredible. So
I think she's crossing back and forth.
Yeah.
She still thinks she's going to walk through the door one day and then reality hits the next. Same with me.
Yeah. I know how she feels because I had a child that died too.
Sorry.
So I know exactly how she feels.
And
I grieve for two.
I grieve for my grandson and I grieve for my daughter.
Yep.
I'm so sorry.
Because
I wish I could give you a big air hug.
Thank you, Darlene. Well, we appreciate your support, and I hope you continue to stay on the show. I'm going to meet you now. My colleague and fellow advocate, Marianne, is on. Let's bring her on. Hi, Marianne. Welcome. Hello, hello.
Let's see.
Marianne, you on?
I think you locked her.
She's there, but she... Are you there, Marianne? Maybe she's just listening. Well, send me a message if you want me to bring you on. Okay. So let's go back to some of what Allie had written that I didn't read. So, you know, I know she posts a lot of stuff out there. So we basically, whoever is following her or whoever is in Drayson, the Grayson, Justice for Grayson Law group or who's involved in the groups that we're involved in, knows, you know, a lot of the story and history, but most people don't. So most of our listeners don't. So for 4 years a little less than 4 years, because it's been since May, or about 4 years or whatever, she was back and forth, and he had 50% custody, right? He got 50%.
Uh-huh, yes.
So what was that, how was that broken up?
Every other weekend and 2 days in the middle of the week. It was like 3-2, 3-2.
To me,
it was crazy.
Very crazy. It was
way too much.
Crazy.
He was an infant. He was still being breastfed when Dawn, her timeline is wrong. But he was able to. She would have to pump milk and send it in bottles.
And you don't even know if he was really feeding him that.
Well, I'm sure he was, but, I mean, of course I don't know. It wasn't there. But it was insane, and personally, it was not something I would have taken the kid out of the state before I'd agree to something like that. But I guess she had no choice. We can thank our past Senator Rick Scott for these laws.
Well, a lot of it's going to change, hopefully. You know, like I said, bad things happen, but if something good comes from it to prevent another death, God forbid, unfortunately,
well,
it has to be Grayson, you know, and it's a horrible thing to say. I feel like I cringe when they say it, but, you know, he's an angel, and he's this 4.5-year-old little boy is going to make change in Florida. I feel it.
I just hope so. Senate hearing, I saw went very well. Everybody
we'll talk,
was in
we'll
agreement.
Talk about that. We'll talk about that later before the show's over. I want to save it for the end. So,
okay.
Let's read from some of the stuff that Allie wrote. Tell us more, you know, of what life, you know, well, okay. Let's take a step back. Tell us more about life with him as his grandma.
He would come toddling into my bed. Well, first of all, for the first 5 months, he had terrible acid reflux, and Allison needed to sleep, so I put him in my room in a little bassinet where his head was propped up, and I would take care of him at night, give him his night feedings and sing to him, and, you know, put him back to sleep, and then she would take over in the morning, and, you know, this went on until he was older and able to hold his own bottle. And we got the acid reflux under control. But anyway, he was just the most adorable, funny thing. He used to play ball with my little Yorkie. He would crawl over to the dog, throw him the ball, and the ball would bring it back to him. It was the cutest little thing you've ever seen, the two of them playing together. He was delighted. He was happy. I named him Giggs. Or Giggy, because of his giggle. His laughter was so infectious. That's how he got the name Giggy. And as he got older, when he was walking, he would toddle into my room, crawl into bed with me in the morning, and we'd cuddle. Aww. And then as he got a little older, he'd come in and he'd tell me the time on the clock. And he'd say, Grandma, it's 7:28. I'm hungry. Mommy's tired. Make me chocolate chip pancakes.
Aww.
Or then he'd say, "Don't tell mommy. I want something not healthy."
Wow.
And then as soon as she would come down, he'd snitch on me. And he'd say, "Grandma gave me cookie."
So.
And I'd say,
"What
Grayson, you weren't supposed
talking?
To tell." He started talking at about, I would say, clearly at about 19 months.
Wow.
Some things were a little hard to understand, of course, but he developed an amazing vocabulary. I mean, I was astounded. He would say words like actually and the other thing was he was so good in mathematics. He was probably almost like a savant. You'd give him numbers and he'd multiply them, and it was like the kid was so smart. He was just a ray of sunshine.
Well, I've seen the videos and I've giggled with him. It's hard not to, because even from a little newborn, little baby, a few months old, I've seen the videos that Allie's posted, and I totally... I saw that. I mean, I'm so happy that she took so many videos and pictures of him. I mean, it never ends.
I know.
The postings never end, and it's incredible. I mean, we're coming on to a year. I mean, a few more months, and she's still posting new stuff, and it's incredible. It shows what an amazing mom she was, and the connection that they had. And
we had a we were a threesome. We went everywhere together. And I am just missing that so much.
I have to say that I don't see so much videos. Well, there are videos with you, but I see how much Allie spoke to him as an adult, not baby talk. You know, that's
right.
We all, as moms, you know, we all do the baby talk with our kids, but when you don't, you see so clearly how they respond as an adult, which probably helps so much with his adult vocabulary.
Well, she used to read to him every single night. two or three books a night, which is also, you know, a very good way of enhancing a child's vocabulary. And, you know, and of course, you know, he had a little bit of a lisp, which is cute. We try to get him to.
I never noticed.
Yeah, a little lisp, a little bit of a lisp, but he was just adorable. And of course, you know, his favorite words were things that I can't say on a talk show. But
yeah,
you know, he was impressed with poop. He would go on Alexa and say, "Alexa, give me Poop Detective," and he'd go through this whole thing with Alexa. The funniest thing he ever heard.
Aww,
but
so sweet.
No, he was an adorable, endearing child. Everybody that knew him or met him just fell in love with him.
I want to give out our phone number again, 516-531-9643, 516-531-9643. We'd love to hear from you. So let's, you know, over the 4 years, you know, Allie says that he just wouldn't leave her alone. Obviously, he didn't really care too much about the parenting app. You know, I've seen some of the stuff he's written her, texted her.
Mm-hmm.
How, like, I know for me, what it did to me, the tension, the mood, you know, you could be happy and everything, and then you get those texts, those horrible texts. Like, how did that affect the house?
It was terrible. She would get very upset, and she'd show me these texts, and somebody told her that when you're dealing with somebody like this, you shouldn't reply. Of course, my gut feeling was I would have nailed him, but she never answered his text, and probably that angered him
more. Infuriated him more, right.
Yeah.
Right.
But she never replied to his text. And, you know, not only did he do that, but you know that he did public records. He looked into my background, her sister's background, and all things that he had no right to do.
Yeah, but, you know, my ex posted all kinds of crap on the internet of me that was illegal.
Well, he didn't post anything. Luckily, I guess he was smart enough to realize that could get him into trouble. But, you know, we were aware of a lot of this stuff because it would come out in his text, you know, and say, "I know that your daughter did drugs at one time, your daughter, your sister, blah, 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 blah." And, you know, just anything he could think of, any kind of dirt that he would think of that would infuriate her, he would throw in her face, as well as all kinds of name calling and degrading things that he would say. I mean, the man was a sick, sick man.
Well, obviously. You have to be literally a psychopath to murder a child.
Well, I said he was a narcissistic psychopath from the get-go.
Okay. Right. It's scary that, you know, I mean, I was married. Mine wasn't the psychopath, he was a sociopath, but he definitely had narcissistic personality disorder. So, you know, for 21 years, you know, I never saw it, you know. But again, we didn't know, you know. And then she wasn't really given much of a choice with the court making orders the way they did with the 50-50.
Mm-hmm. No, she really didn't, according to what she said or the advice or whatever her lawyer told her, that this is the way it had to be and you had no choice. But I personally think that he had too much parenting time, especially when he was very, very young.
Right.
But as I said, I don't know. I I just don't know what to say at this point, and it's all water under the bridge anyway at this point in time. But I will tell you that things never got better with him. He kept up his craziness, and I think it, of course, escalated when he discovered that she had a boyfriend that she only saw when
How old was Grayson when...
the boyfriend came into her life?
Yeah.
He was close to four. He was, they met, he was his swim instructor, and they struck up a relationship, and, you know, then they got closer together, and I think that's what escalated this whole thing with John. He realized there would never be a future for him in her life. He was completely delusional anyway, because she never, ever led him ever to believe that there ever could be a relationship. But once he found out there was somebody in her life, he went nuts.
But he never asked her either to have a relationship, from what I understood.
Oh, yes, he did.
He did?
In one text, he'd call her every name in the book, and then another text, he would say, "I really love you," blah, 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 and so on. I mean, the man was maybe bipolar. I don't know. He was a nutcase. And, of course, she wouldn't answer his text, and then the next text would be nasty, and then he'd go back to, you know, "I really would like to try to work things out."
When he wasn't following the court ordered, you know, parenting app communication, nothing could have been filed then?
Yes, supposedly. Allison sent all the information, hard copies of his text, etc., and she was supposed to get another contempt order, and he was supposed to find, or whatever, but I really don't know what happened, whether it actually went through. But he ignored it anyway, so it didn't matter, because he did what he wanted to do regardless of being held in contempt. He didn't give a shit.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
So, you know, it seems like, you know, she was constantly fighting him, you know, for everything, you know,
to
pay for school.
He was
school
supposed
and
to,
activities.
According to their agreement, right, he was supposed to pay for this or pay for that and, you know, share in some things and help. Allison would choose a school and he would say no, and, I mean, he was just impossible to deal with. He, you know, it's the coercive control.
Yeah.
So. And,
so, you know, we have a lot of time here, so we have to get more of her story. How long would you say, like, pretty much once her current boyfriend came into her life, that's when, and you said it was how long that he was involved with Allie?
Well, they really started about a year and a half ago. They really started, you know, dating as a couple. You know, that, as I said, that's definitely when John got more
aggressive.
Yes, I couldn't think of the word. Thank you. As I said, you know, the texts would never stop and everything. And as you know, closer to the time of Grayson's demise, he started, you know, tracking her. She didn't know that there was a tracker on her car, and you know, he was stalking her. He would also do drive-bys. When we lived together, I would see his car at weird hours of the night.
And you never called the police?
Well, he didn't stop. And, you know, if I called the police and said he's just driving by, they're not going to do anything. So there was no point in
that. I know, but they would have had it on record.
I guess you haven't dealt much with Fort Lauderdale police.
I'm saying this for people out there who are dealing with something like this. What happened happened. What happened, unfortunately, with Allie happened. But for those out there listening that maybe, you know, it is in January, National Stalking Awareness Month. Anytime you feel threatened, somebody's stalking you, following you, harassing you, sending you, cyberbullying you, sending you texts that are, you feel threatened or unwanted texts. You need, and I hate the police, okay? To me, they were a joke. But you need to report it because it's a history and a pattern that is recorded or it is put on paper, get a copy. And you always have to make sure that the report is written as you said it or as the text or whatever's in the text so that if, when you have a proper police report and you have your evidence and you take it to the courthouse and you have a history of this, okay, I don't think one text, unless they threaten to kill you in that one text, it would be considered a history and a pattern. You need a history and a pattern. I would think it's a handful or whatever of texts.
Allison gave the court 250 pages.
Right.
The most horrific text, and it mattered not. It didn't do a thing. I don't think they were even read. I think the judge's paralegal just thumbed through it and said, look, I don't see anything threatening here. And that was it. And the judge denied everything. And what can I tell you?
What I'm saying is that happened. Yeah, go on. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying that judges should not have immunity anymore. That's another thing we need
go
after. They should be accountable because if they can prevent a death and they didn't, then they should be held accountable just like any other citizen.
I don't disagree.
They were basically accessory. They were basically an accessory to a crime.
The enablers.
Yep. Yep.
In the narcissistic term, they're called flying monkeys. That's what they're called. How I felt about the police. In my case. The
police did nothing. They could have broken the door down.
We'll get to that soon. We have plenty of time. I would like to give out a number again. We'd love to hear from you. I will bring Darlene back on, 516-531-9643, 516-531-96. Marianne, we lost you. I don't know what happened. If you're able to call back in, we'd love to hear from you. I will bring Darlene back on.
Can I say something funny?
Yes.
About an hour before I was supposed to call in, my phone fell in the toilet.
Oh,
and I was praying it would work. Thank God.
Did you put it in right?
It's a later bottle and it's waterproof.
Did you put it in right?
No, actually, it's waterproof. The newer phones, as long as they're not submerged for a long period of time, nothing happened. It worked.
Oh,
I was saying, oh, my God, please work.
I know, because none of us have house phones anymore.
This never happened to me before, and it was in my back pocket.
Well, you had an angel watching over you, so...
yep, the phone angel.
Darlene, you're back on. Did you have anything you wanted to add? We're losing everybody tonight. Darlene, you there? Maybe she fell asleep.
Hey.
You're there?
Yeah, I'm here. I had it muted on my end, too. I'm glad that you didn't lose your phone permanently. a friend of mine did that to her phone, and she didn't even know it fell into the sink until the next day. By then, it could not be saved.
I don't even have everything backed up to my computer. I don't know what I would do. I was recording today what was going on in legislation, and I was trying to, like, upload it to everybody. And, you know, we have groups, and it's like, you have too much stuff, and I have to start deleting things. It's incredible. You don't have enough storage, it kept telling me.
I play a lot of games, and it just, I do have a memory card in here. But my other phone, I was able to put my games on the memory card and play, so it didn't take up the space. On this one, I can't. So
I'm not a game person.
So how long ago did this happen?
Ronnie?
I didn't hear the question.
But how long ago did this happen?
Grayson was murdered on May 21st of 2021.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you
very much. I think she put like his 4.5 years old.
Yep.
He would have been, he would have, we
December
6th, celebrated his 5th.
December the what?
December 6th would have been his fifth birthday.
Well, that's my oldest son's birthday. It's December 6th. That's why I was what? Is that what you said?
Yes. He was born December 6th, 2016.
Oh. I'm so glad that you are changing the negative to something positive, you know, trying to get the laws more enabled where they have to end up doing some things instead of just sitting there on their butts, you know?
We want this to be Grayson's legacy. That's all we can do is to prevent another child from dying because of negligence and malfeasance in the court.
Exactly.
So if anything good comes of this, this law will be passed.
Well, you know, the good I see, too, even you got your voice. You know what I'm saying?
My daughter is amazing. She has done some fabulous things, made Domestic Abuse Awareness Month a viable option in our state.
It's Family Court Awareness Month. Family Court Awareness Month,
in November, it's Domestic Violence.
January is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. November is now Family Court Awareness Month.
Oh, Family Court Awareness, right.
Court Awareness.
Sorry, I stand corrected.
Yeah. There's some, like in Tennessee, we had an awareness on child abuse where they're trying to, and they had that in December, and that's usually not the month for that, you know, but it's like they're saying that it happened too often, so we want more people to realize that, so they made it for that time also.
Right.
Well, I appreciate it and everything, and I know I had heard of Grayson's Law before. You know, somebody trying to pass it.
How long? Ronnie, when was it finalized? When was it written? The writing finalized, and when was it submitted?
It was finalized in mid December, and it became a bill just a few weeks ago, and it was presented to the Florida Senate today.
Right.
And it was passed, and I will post the video later. It was actually agreed upon in the Senate, right? Today was Senate.
Yes, it was agreed upon. It hasn't been passed yet, but it was agreed upon.
But it was
that it will,
in the Senate.
That it will go
it
to the Senate for passing.
So today was legislation, but wasn't mm-hmm. that the Senate there? There were senators there that voted yes.
Yes. Yes.
So what's the next? So who's the next level? They were saying judicial, and I don't understand what that is.
Judge.
Right. Maybe it's the same as there is in Washington, where they have the Senate and the House.
Right. So I didn't see Greco there. Is that where it goes next to the House? Correct.
So, Greco is a state rep. He's not a senator.
Right. Right. So, okay. So, but today, the senators were there, and they
mm-hmm.
all agreed upon it.
Yeah.
So I don't know where it goes to the next. They wrote the judicial system. The judicial is the next level, but that would mean judges?
Well, I don't know if it goes into a formal ballot where the public has to vote on it.
Oh. Because that's supposed to be brought up in a week. That's supposed to be done in a week. And they want more of us to go up there. Lisa went up there with Allie. They both did a great
mm-hmm.
job.
Mm-hmm.
Darlene, did you want to say
on the due process? I really don't know. I'm not that.
I know. I was calling my mom before because she's very into this, and I was asking like on the state level, who's the next group that has to vote on it?
Mm-hmm.
She also was like, I don't know.
It goes on a ballot, and then the public votes on it.
Awesome.
Really?
Yeah, like when they vote for senators or whatever, you know, then that will be on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. If somebody knows and they're listening, please call in 516-541-9643.
Darlene,
I'm going to
put you back on hold. Yeah. What were you going to say? I was going to say that nobody knows when something like this might happen. So they need to be able to go on in there and help, you know, save a life.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, in New York, it's on the table right now. Kyra's law, unfortunately. You know, they're both similar situations.
I think Kyra's law was passed.
It was?
Yeah, I believe so.
I didn't. That's amazing. I didn't look. I was busy posting the show. I did see something, but I did not see.
I saw posting, and I think congratulations.
Wow. Well, you know what? If that was passed, then we better get this. I mean, look, it made it, the first round was done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to put you back on hold, Arlene. Ronnie, we have another hour to go, so I didn't prepare you for...
This addresses what the court system, where the court system has failed. The next step, I personally think, is the police departments. The police departments have to be more in tune with threats and act immediately in the better interest of the child and then do the paperwork later.
Right. So So one of the senators today, I'm sorry, go on. What were you saying?
No, we do go. Go ahead.
No, so one of the senators today, Victor Torres, which a lot of people had left some messages thanking him, he said it straight up like it should be. He said, a child alone with their mother. Now, I know there might be men listening to the show, and I should have said this before. There is women out there are not meant to be mothers. There are women that have murdered their children. We are not saying that this is only a father thing. This goes, again, both this has happened, and I've done a little bit of research, and there isn't an updated in a recent 20 or 21 update with percentages, but there are more fathers than mothers, and it's not by a very large amount that have murdered their children, but in the news, in the last couple of years, or 2 years, I would say, there I have seen stories, and I get everything posted, okay? I mean, I get the news feed everywhere. I have seen stories of the fathers. If there are mothers that are murdering their kids, I haven't seen any in the last year or two, or maybe let's say a year. So I know, I do know, because I've had, you know, that when certain things get posted in certain groups, you know, people come at you with, this, you know, moms do this too. Yeah, we know that. There are many moms out there that are psychopaths, sociopaths, narcissists, mental illness. They should not have had children, you know, and we, you know, there are plenty of stories that are out there. I don't disagree, but what I'm seeing right now, the people that I'm dealing with have been fathers. My story, and thank God there was no murder, I could have been murdered, but was with a man. So, you know, that's why we're focused right at the moment on men, on protective mothers. Yes, there are protective fathers. I know that 100%, and I know it up close and personal. So I just want to make that very clear, because I get that.
It's a good point. Yes, it's true.
I get a lot of,
bashing. Look at that mother. They didn't report her daughter missing for 2 years. How does the mother not report the child?
And Darlene just talked about a little baby that was murdered. They found her bones. The parents didn't report for months.
Right.
There are women that make poor choices, and men around their children that are very unhealthy. I've never brought men around my kids ever in 6 years, except for the man I was married to, who I had my three kids with, and I probably won't. I don't trust people, and I've met a lot of crazy people, and that's it. So, there are people that make bad decisions, women that make poor decisions and bring men around their children who end up harming their children. You know, we're responsible for our children and protecting our children. So, like I said, it's on both sides, but the group and the people that I'm dealing with at this particular moment happen to be dealing with
men
that have been the problem. So please, again, we know it goes both ways. And in this case, it was a father
and
that murdered his child.
And it's also probably a lot to do with that they make more money and they use that as a part of coercive control.
It could be,
because
a lot of the...
They can pay for the better store than this and then that. And They
well,
use money.
Well, you know,
a lot of our
Florida protective mothers that we're dealing with that are in middle high conflict post separation or high conflict divorces are professional women.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind boggling what they're fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Mind boggling.
Would you
want to
hear
Allie
something?
Seemed like she was a professional. I mean, go on.
I got some important thing to tell you. The judge that denied the emergency pickup order for Grayson has a family law practice. Did you know that? He has a family law practice in Fort Lauderdale.
So she became a judge, but she was a family law practice?
It still has a law practice, yeah, with her name on it.
So judges can practice law?
Well, I don't know if she's practicing it, but she has a law firm with her name on it, and it's a family law practice. Certainly not one I would go.
Are you allowed to say the name?
Susan Alspector. And it's
what
called the Alspector Law Group. Susan Alspector, Alspector.
And she is a judge where?
She was a judge in family court. She was the one that denied in Broward County, in Fort Lauderdale, the Fort Lauderdale courthouse. And she has a law practice under her name. In Fort Lauderdale, it's called Alspector Family Law.
So you're saying she's no longer practicing law?
She is practicing.
I mean,
she's still a judge.
Sorry.
I think she has been removed from family court, and I heard that she was put in drug court.
Wow. Good. She should be off the bench totally.
Tell me about it. All of these judges should be off the bench. They should be disbarred.
Yep, absolutely.
For failure to do due diligence.
Yep, absolutely. So let's... I know I'm taking you back to a little bit of a nightmare. Do you want me to read what she had, you know, read a little bit of what she had written, that Allie wrote, or do you want to ask questions? Do you want to read it?
You can read it.
Okay. One second. Sorry. Okay. So Allie says that... So I had said before that she had been cyberstalked. She had all kinds of crazy texts from him, and this is all the last week of Grayson's life. You guys had not seen him in how many days?
I picked him up from she went to court to file an injunction for stalking. And
okay.
I picked him up from school. It was the 18th of May. That was the last I saw him.
And then
because that,
and then you guys exchanged.
John picked him up that evening, which was the 18th. I think it was a Tuesday night. Or Monday night. I don't remember exactly. Monday or Tuesday night. And that was the last I saw of him.
Okay. So he had not gone to school the next 2 days?
He didn't send him to school.
So that whole weekend, the rest of the weekend, not been
That's
at school
the
until they...
The day I picked him up from school was because Allison went to court with her papers. And
right.
That's when she discovered she had a tracking device on her car because he texted her, "What are you doing by the courthouse?"
Courthouse.
That's what made her think, how the heck does he know where I am? And that's when she went to a mechanic, and they put the car up on a lift, and they found the tracking device.
And do you know that in the law, in the current law, that's a crime?
Well, she went to the police, and they did nothing.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
They told her she had to go to court. So she went to court, and she filed in a stalking, whatever. And, of course, they approved it.
She filed for an injunction.
Yeah, and they approved it after his death.
Right.
Yeah,
and she was begging for the emergency pickup because he was missing from school.
That was denied, right? Yeah. So they didn't take the stalking or anything, or her text messages, even the last one that her head off her body.
Right,
they didn't take
right.
anything serious. I don't even think personally. I don't think anybody even looked at the damn papers.
Right.
So
again, I want to reiterate to those listening out there. I am not a fan of police, okay? But I have learned in 3 years, okay, probably almost 3 years of police report, that you need to make sure the police write a report. They have to. If you report something, and always look up the law, because I used to shove it in their face and say, look, this is the law. This is a violation of the law. This is called stalking and harassment. This is called cyberbullying. Okay? It all is part of one law. And the wording has to be changed. I don't know if that will happen, but it has to be very specific. Because unfortunately our police, whether they'll ever get trained or not properly, I don't know. But, you know, this is the law, a history and a pattern. That's it. With intent to harm, whether they harm you or not. Clearly, tracking someone, putting a tracking device in someone's car, that's stalking. That's harassment. Sending texts that make you feel threatened, okay? And it's not about what other people think. It's how you feel. You know, I feel threatened. These texts are very threatening. And my child is in his care. You know, that's a whole other story. And that's what Grace and Law is about, protecting the children.
Right.
Make sure the police write a report. They have. If you go to them and say, this is what I have, I know the law, I want a report, they have to write a report. And if you don't like the way the report is written, you can request it as a citizen with another protective parent until we got it done properly. Okay?
Yeah. Well, she did go to the, after she found the tracking device, she did go straight to the plantation.
And they didn't do anything. And so she should have said, look, the tracker was put on my car.
Nothing.
Right.
They
so
did nothing.
For those out there that are listening, know that that is a crime. And that the police have to write a report. If you show them, he just texted me. He knows where I am. How does he know where I am? And then there's a tracking device on my car. 2 and 2 together, I want it written in a report.
But they have to act on it. Writing it in a report's not good enough.
If the threat is imminent,
they have to take it seriously and go get the kid.
That's a whole other story, and that's right. That's what Grace and Law is about. But I'm saying, until Grace and Law is passed, and if this is happening to people in other states, and you don't have these laws, or you have these laws and you're going through something similar, just know what you should do, because if you have a proper police report and you have the proof, you print it out, you print out the text. You take the tracking device, you take a picture of it, you go to court, has to help you. There are people there that can help you write a police report.
Let me tell you something. I want to tell you something. Police report, I understand what you're saying, and it's true, and you're 100% right. But I know of an instance that was very close to me at the time where somebody had a restraining order and the police did not even know what a restraining order meant. And the dad snatched the kid and ran away. And once he was 50 feet away from the door, they could do nothing. They had no idea on how to respond to a restraining order. And that was our good old plantation police again.
Yeah, well, so don't feel bad. Deerfield police are lousy. It's just me. My restraining order was violated. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. I'm in a different county now. So I had to deal with a whole new set of police. And mine was mine was clearly violated. You know, it tells you in the restraining order what is a violation. And it was violated.
Oh, right.
And I'm in criminal court.
Between 50 feet of your door.
Contacting you.
Well, they didn't. This happened before cyber stuff. But.
Well, right. I'm saying I'm dealing with criminal court now. And unfortunately,
right.
Users and have more right, not just in family court, but in criminal court, than victims or survivors. It's
right.
We have a problem in every part of the system. But how I got my restraining order was unfortunate. It took so long because, again, the cops are not trained properly or not doing their job properly. But I fought, and I have files and files of police reports and files of texts and emails and everything and threats and this and that. Anyway, but a paper trail is very important, even if nothing's done at the time. And, you know, who knows? Who knows if they would have done anything, whether she had all these police reports or whatever. Another thing is, and Ali did not know if he had a permit to carry, a license to carry, but if she would have gotten a gun.
We did not know he had a gun.
She did not know he had a gun, but she also did not know whether he had a license to carry, had
right.
a gun without a license. So, but what I was saying is that if you have, in the restraining order, you have to hand, it tells you, if she would have gotten the restraining order prior, okay, and she knew he had a gun or a license to carry,
well,
he would have
he
had
would
to
never
hand,
admit. He would never admit
well,
to having a gun.
Right.
He never mentioned it. We didn't know he had a gun. We don't know how
right.
he had a gun. So far as we know, they still haven't been able to break into his computer.
They haven't broken into his computer?
No, they haven't been able to access it. You know, he was an IT guy, very high tech.
And the FBI or the police don't have specialists?
They haven't done anything yet. They couldn't get into his phone either.
That's unbelievable. That's
yep.
bad. That's sad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give out our phone number again, 516-531-9643. We'd love to hear from you. Let me bring Darlene on again because she's been patiently. Anything to add, Darlene?
I was listening to that. Listen to, and I know that it's not going to be enough to just, you know, have a bill or, you know, because if you even got a restraining order, and police don't know what that is, they need, oh, man, you know, that's supposed to be there to protect as well. So
they don't know
miserably.
What.
They failed miserably.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 100%, all the way down mm-hmm. the line.
Yes. Now, if we would have done something like that or something, it'd take us to court and say, well, it's your fault, the reason that that's what the child died or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when they're like that and they won't protect, what do you do?
It's frustrating.
Yeah,
I can't even imagine what she's I'm sorry, go on.
Serve and protect. It's supposed to be to serve and protect.
Anything that Buddy could have done at that point would have wound up in jail ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
You know, basically, Allie, that day or two, went to the courthouse to file a domestic violence injunction. It was 2 hours later, it was denied, stating not enough evidence. After filing 250 pages of documents and texts with threats and erratic behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the law says a history and a pattern.
But she also wrote on top of it that I feel that I am in danger and I fear for my child's life. And she wrote that in big, bold letters.
Letters. They don't care.
And it was completely...
She had wanted an emergency pickup order because Grayson was missing from school for 2 days. That was denied, too.
Yep.
And, you know,
the police failed her with the tracker.
The police refused to break down the door of her home. Now,
the owner of the condo that John lived in, get his permission to hire a locksmith to break down the door. And then she coordinated all this with the police. And that's when they found Grayson and his father dead with gunshots to their heads.
Yeah.
After 4 years of trying to get protection, we were failed by multiple lawyers, mediators, custody evaluators, and 3 judges.
Now, what were the 3 judges?
One was Dale Cohn. The other one was, I think, Michael Kaplan, and the last one, the one that could have saved his life, was Susan Alspector.
So one of them was the one that gave him custody.
Parenting rights was Dale Cohn.
And then the other one, the Michael Kaplan one, was?
He was one of the ones that also denied the stalking order at first.
So she had 2 stalking orders denied?
Mm-hmm. One was for cyber stalking, the other one was for the tracking device. They finally gave her...
The day after, right. The day
device,
after they found...
But that was... That came after Grayson was dead.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, too much of this happening. You know, like Ali says, you know, first of all, I can't even imagine what you both felt like in those 2 days. Or however long it was, 48 hours, 2 days, or whatever, 3 days, hitting every brick wall, basically, you know, being failed by this one and being failed by that one, just not even talking about over the 4 years. I'm talking about just fighting to get a hold of her child. That panic.
Mm-hmm.
That panicky feeling, knowing deep down something's not right, man is not stable, and nobody of authority willing, who's supposed to be there to protect the innocent and the victims, everybody just saying no, no, no. I can't even imagine even from the things I went through, I can't even imagine what that must have felt like. Like the letdown and knowing and being living in that fear, in the fear, and a mother's intuition, a grandma's intuition, those are legit. And like I wanted to say again, I wanted to finish saying about that senator this morning, Senator Victor Torres, and I have to call him and leave him a message also. He said, children belong with their moms because the mom's a nurturer. And this is in most cases, okay? You know, he was a New York police officer.
Yeah,
New York handles things differently. And he said it straight like we say it, you know, like a protective parent. He said, a child belongs with their mom. And he's the first guy ever. A child belongs with their mom. Yep, a child belongs with a mom, and unless otherwise determined, we first make sure the child is safe. If the mother is the protective, safe parent, I'm saying this, not him, because he was like, I don't get it. How did this happen?
I heard him.
You know?
I heard him.
He was incredible. He just said it straight the way it's supposed to be. Now, if...
Mm-hmm.
The father is a protective parent, and the mom is not, then the child belongs with the dad. But in this case, Ali, stable parent, there was all this proof over 4 years. I mean,
not just
from the moment
parent,
of conception.
He had a loving atmosphere. He had a home with his grandma there. I mean, Allison never had to worry about somebody watching him or taking care of him if she had a doctor appointment. I mean, he was just as happy to be with grandma as he was with his mommy.
Yeah.
He felt safe and protected with me too.
Right. And she was very lucky to have you. You know?
Well,
very lucky.
I was very lucky to have him in my life, even though it was only for 4.5 years.
Sorry. I know this was. I knew this would be very hard for you, but you know, people need to hear this because. Sorry, Lonnie.
It's okay.
We need the public to hear Allie's story and your story and Grayson's story because they're the voters. And they're the people out there that are going to fight for change. And that's the court system, the judicial system is not going to change in any other way. Because it's just not. It's a billion-dollar business. And it's not going to change unless the people, there are people out there that have no idea what's going on in family court.
Also a bunch of idiot fathers that are arguing against all this because
that just shows
they're saying very negative things.
When I see these extreme groups, when I see these kind of extreme groups, I look at these people and I say, they're all a bunch of crazies. They're all a bunch of narcissistics, whatever. Because loving, caring, healthy parents want what's best for the kid. That's it. And you work together.
I know that. Oh, I was divorced.
If you're not,
I was divorced.
Go on.
And when Allison, Grayson's mom, was 8 years old, I moved to Florida with her. And prior to that, when we had a divorce agreement with, I wouldn't say parenting rights or shared custody, but we worked it out ourselves. And if at any point in time Allison didn't want to go, her dad said, fine, stay with mommy. He never, ever forced her to do what she didn't want to do at the time. And he had every right to, but he didn't.
Right.
Because he was a caring
and he
parent.
Was a loving and father. Right. And she did enjoy spending
lousy
her time with
him. Yeah.
But And that's the thing. People that have right. children together, that love their children and put their children first, want what's best for children. When one parent has so much hate and anger for the other parent, there's a problem.
Because well, he did have
that
anger,
is your child.
But when he asked Allison who she'd rather live with, and she said mommy, that's when he gave up.
Well, you know, because he loved her and he wanted what's best for her.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm talking about right now in general, what's going on in
no,
this
I understand.
World.
I know.
It was very different going back 10, 20, 50, 20 years, 15 years, whatever. It was different, you know. The mom normally was home with the child, with the children, and we lived in a very different kind of world. And I'm not saying these things were not happening. They were happening, but very much less infrequent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or frequent, much,
well,
because
no,
parents want...
It probably was just as frequent, but we didn't have the media coverage or the social media or anything like we had today. I'm sure there was just as many 30, 40 years ago.
You think so?
You,
of murders of children?
Sure. Yes. There was somebody in Queens that murdered her four children.
Yes. But that wasn't 30, 40 years ago.
I don't remember the name. I'm sure, but we did not have the media coverage or social media.
Is that the one that drowned them in the lake?
Something like that, yeah.
There was one in the lake. There was one in the bathtub. But that wasn't 30, 40 years ago.
No, that's a different. There was one on Long Island, and I think in the 70s.
Oh.
I forget
well,
her name,
anyway,
but.
To get back
she killed
to
four,
on track here.
She killed four children.
To get back on track here, when I see any party being an extreme, then I don't see love for the children. I see hate for the other party, the other parent. And
yep.
And when you see that hate and anger for the other parent versus loving the child more and wanting what's best on either side, okay?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of good kids out there.
I've seen up close and personal a psychopathic stepmom. On more than one occasion. Marianne, who was on before, her ex-husband married one and lost custody to her children. And they were not babies. You know, and she wrote a book, and God willing, it'll be on the big screen. But, I mean, this is happening way too much, way too often, and we hope and pray that there's going to be a resolution because I don't want to get up in the morning and open up my phone and see another child murdered or another mom murdered. You know, I speak about this all the time. The number one killer of women in the United States, sorry, let me take that back. The number one killer of women across the entire world is domestic violence.
Men. Of course.
Is domestic violence. The number one killer, not heart disease, not cancer.
Killer. It's not just killing. A couple of years ago, there was a boyfriend that shot his girlfriend in the face, shot off half of her face. It's not just killing, it's maiming, throwing acid, all these crazy
whatever
things.
It is, they're killing them or they're miming them, whatever
maiming
it is.
Them.
It's domestic violence.
Yep.
So, you know, when people say to me, yes, there are many women that are abusive, verbally, mentally, emotionally, coercive control it happens on both sides. A man to a woman to a man. Men are probably less likely to come forward because, you know, they've been wiped from their, but we're talking about kids here. And when we're talking about kids, normal, healthy parents want what's best for their kids. When I see or I meet people that have great relationships with their exes, for the kids' sake, it makes me so happy because it shows mm-hmm. parents that really love their kids. And, mm-hmm. you know, the point that I'm looking at is from a point of the children who are still alive, that are with an abusive, that have shared custody with the abusive parent, and mm-hmm. the damage that's being done to these children, you know.
Right.
Children are the next generation, you know, and I'm dealing.
Let me finish.
I'm sorry.
These children,
yeah,
abused, become abusers themselves because that's all they know, and it's a chain.
Yep, it's a vicious cycle,
and it has affected in schools. I'm sure teachers are aware of children that have certain issues or problems
mm-hmm.
that could use therapy or mental health evaluation if they have any inkling of the fact that they may be either verbally or mentally, physically or mentally abused. There has to be more education for teachers, too, to pick up on this. Because,
well, they were talking
said,
about that. That was one of the laws that was brought up today.
That was the last one. Yeah.
I was very happy to see that because right before COVID happened, they started implementing mental health in some
evaluation.
Of the schools. I think it was more – it was in some of the private schools in Palm Beach, I believe.
Well, it started with Marjorie Stoneman Douglas massacre.
After that, yes, they started implementing mental health classes in some. I think there were more private schools in Palm Beach, but then COVID happened and it stopped. And I kept saying this is the perfect time to do it because you're Zooming. So during the free time that they're Zooming, during their free periods or whatever it is, during homeroom, why don't they teach them about mental health? They're home, they're mm-hmm. isolated, they're not being able to go out, be with other kids, especially for those kids that were living in homes with domestic abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our mental health crisis went up big time, domestic violence went up big time. That was the perfect time for them to start. And it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And it was a real big shame. I know my home, the mental health issues went up big time. I mean, you know, everybody's on top of each other and dealing with their trauma and all kinds of crap.
All boils down to money. They have to get the money to fund it. And that's where the problem is.
I don't know. The budgets for some of these, the budget for domestic violence, I was watching this morning for domestic violence, for DCF, for all of those organizations was pretty damn big.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
DCF is worthless.
We won't even go there.
No.
They've become a danger. They've become a danger if they
mm-hmm.
get involved. I've never seen anything like that in my life. Never.
No,
I mean,
they're worthless.
Well, it seems like all these organizations are worthless, and it's huge money business, and at
mm-hmm.
the sake of what? Innocent children, innocent women, innocent
mm-hmm.
victims. Darlene, your mic is open. Do you have anything to say?
Yeah. I really think that we do need this law in every state in the United States. I think, I like how Tennessee, we're doing the trauma awareness. You know, they have taught teachers and the faculty, a lot of them, about trauma awareness. So if it looks like somebody's got a little bit of trouble, they go in there and talk to them, you know. Even if a person don't come up to them and say, I need, in trouble. They're already noticing. You know what I'm saying, y'all?
Yeah, y'all.
I love that answer, man. Yeah, I was talking about it. But with all seriousness, you know, like I said, I was watching YouTube and that guy's going from state to state changing laws. I'll try to end up getting with him and try my best about trying to get with him and stuff and give Bailey the information too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, please.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's very, very unfortunate. We live in such a crazy world and dysfunctional world. Yes?
I think that Grayson's father must have grown up in an abusive home because he left home at 18 and he joined the Moonies cult.
Mm-hmm.
So there had been something off. I have a gut feeling and always that his mother knew he was unstable, but never, ever brought it up to Allison.
Well, she probably wouldn't even have believed. You know, when we're dating someone,
no, she would have believed
it. When we
get
involved with someone,
she would have believed
it.
She
would have listened.
Oh, yeah.
And what would she have done?
I would have made her believe it, but she never said anything.
She got pregnant pretty much right away, right?
What?
She got pregnant pretty much right. They dated only for a couple of months, right?
Right.
So, well, she obviously saw the instability, and then when he wasn't interested in this child, and that I started talking about that earlier. I mean, that should have played a big role in the whole custody thing. I mean, a person that says, have an abortion, I don't want this kid, does not deserve to get 50% custody.
Oh, but what he
Hello?
Said was, I love this child. I just left my job, and I moved up to Fort Lauderdale so I could be close to him and have a relationship with him. He conned his judge or his lawyer who spoke on his behalf at the custody hearing or whatever and made it look like he was, like, you know, 100% kosher, so to speak.
And did her lawyer get to show the messages? Were they allowed in court, his original messages?
I don't know. I mean, they went to mediation and then the parenting agreement was put forth. I don't know what she was allowed to or not allowed to show or say at the time. I have no idea. You have
right.
to pick her brain about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
I never had a chance. You know,
a lot of things.
You tiptoe around. Right.
She didn't tell me.
It's very, it's heartbreaking, gut wrenching to see these tragedies happening over and over and over again. And, you know, like I said, the only way we're going to get changed is by using our voices, and Allie's done an amazing job, even while she's been mourning. It hasn't even been a year, and she's so lucky to have an amazing mom that's been so supportive, and the amount of friends that she has. I mean, there's no way you can get through any sort of tragedy, not even a regular divorce, without a support system. There's no way. You can't. I mean, I see the people that their state of mind, their state of how they handle things, their fight, the fight in them, when they have a support system, when they don't have a support system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was lucky enough to have a great support system. Allie was very is lucky to have continued support, and now she has support in the Senate and all these amazing groups that we're a part of, organizations that we're a part of. It's tremendous. And you know,
it also turns out my cousin, her second cousin, my first cousin, is a very good friend of Lori Backman.
Lori, is that the senator?
Yes.
Or the senator's, you talking about Berman?
Is it Berman? I don't know.
Book, Lori Book?
No, it's not Lori Book. The other one. Must be Berman.
Darlene, did you have anything else to add? Have you open?
Okay. I just want to tell you what a wonderful lady you are. I am so sorry that you have to go through what you're going through. It cuts to the core. And one thing, I got tired of people saying, and I want to know if you felt that same way as well. I got tired of people saying, well, he's with God, you know. Y'all just smile because he's with God. It's like, but I miss my baby, you know.
I want him here. I don't want him in God's hands. I want him here.
Exactly, and that's the same way I felt. And I said, that's so cold you tell me that, you know?
Yeah, and where is Jesus?
I think people don't know what to say. I think it's a very difficult situation because I know when I first met Allie, Grayson's this birthday party, it's so hard. You don't know what to say. I mean, you say, I'm sorry, this shouldn't have happened. I mean, I've met a lot of people through my advocacy, and it was the first time I actually met someone who actually lost a child, and in person, and you know, you really don't know what to say. It's you feel the pain, you see the agony, you know, even if you can relate to some of the things they've been through, there's no you can't relate to losing a child, and you know, I think. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, how you said, like, I'm sorry, that should be sufficient enough, you know? But when they go and add more to, like, you ought to be happy with God, you know? And I'm like, wait a minute.
Yep.
I get so mad about that.
I think when somebody's mourning, and when somebody's still in the mourning process, you have to be very careful what you say.
Exactly.
You know?
Show compassion.
Yeah. I just kept saying, you know, he's a little angel, and, you know, obviously, you never know what to say. It's a very tough situation, you know? I truly hope that people, more of the public will hear the show, will watch the video of Allie speaking today, have seen the news where she's spoken, have seen the amazing videos and photos of what an amazing mom she was and what an amazing grandma you have been, and people just. The empathy comes out and people go out there and rally and keep the momentum up of fighting for the change and start to see what's really going on inside of divorces or separations or high conflict post-separation relationships and realize that nobody really cares about these kids, these innocent babies I don't care what age they are.
No, what?
When you're a mother, they're your babies forever. And, you know, all my kids are my babies. And they always will be. And I will love them forever. And I will fight for them forever. And I'm the biggest advocator. And that's what Ali is, and that's what you are. And that's why we call them protective parents, whether it's a father or a mother. You see, I can see in posts that are posted what fathers out there are protective fathers that are missing their kids.
You know what else has just that needs to do at a later time? If I could bring this up, I mean, now it's too late for me, but grandparents' rights. Grandparents have no rights in the state.
Somebody started doing that in one of the states before, and I can't remember what state it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I printed out the whole bill.
I mean, there are times like the DCF, instead of giving the child to a loving grandparent, will keep it in put the child in foster care, and that shouldn't happen.
Yeah. Because there's money to be made there. You know, I printed out the whole bill, and there was something that was handed to me in criminal court by the ADA, and there's a whole list of what is considered domestic violence, and all those things are not listed in the laws as domestic violence. I'm like, Darlene, if you don't mind, I'm going to put you on mute because you're breathing very loud. I apologize. I just done
the
background
police,
noise making me lose my train
of thought. Are not aware of what you're talking about.
Well, they hand you a pamphlet when you make a police report. They always left pamphlets, which I barely ever went through, but it tells you what to do if you're going through domestic violence or whatever. Or DCF leaves a pamphlet if they are involved.
Yeah, right, but
in
then
the
they
home.
Do nothing.
Exactly. So I was
That's
reading
the
that.
They're good at writing pamphlets and booklets, but then nothing happened.
Exactly. So I was reading when we were on a Zoom with Abby, Senator Berman's right-hand wing woman, who's amazing, incredible, and, you know, I was reading to her what it says, and I'll just give you a few of the things. Isolating the individual from family and friends, controlling how much money is accessible, monitoring the individual's activities, communications, and movements, name-calling, degrading, and demeaning the individual frequently, threatening to harm or kill the individual, a child, a relative of the individual, threatening to publish information and make reports. This is in the bill, okay?
Yeah.
But I gave them, I sent her to the link of the website that I had read all these things, damaging property or household goods. These are all listed in a few-page pamphlet from the ADA, DSA, they call them in Broward County District, something, district, DSA, district, I don't know, attorney, something attorney. They hand you this when you come into criminal court, okay? Family court has border and domestic violence. They hand you some similar kind of thing, but I actually have to go and pull them out just to see. But my point is that all these things that are now listed here, other laws or whatever under other laws, I sent them a link to this. I was reading it to them, like, you guys don't know what I'm talking about? I'm like, this is what they handed me, and they wrote, this is what's considered domestic violence. So, again, you know, it does talk about family members. You're right, there should be a specific law for grandparents. You know, my parents, my siblings, unfortunately, are harassed, cyber-stalked, cyber-bullied. nothing's done because you can't prove it, even though it's a history and a pattern going back 5 years. They just deal with it. But, you know, if you're mentioning, you know.
My biggest fear was always if, God forbid, something happened to Allison, that custody would have been awarded to John when I knew he was unstable and that I would have no rights. And I, by right, should have been the one to have, would have been the one that would
have
nurtured.
Well, she could have left a legal document, a will.
It wouldn't have been recognized because the law in Florida doesn't give grandparents rights.
That's crazy. Well, I haven't gotten a chance to go through the whole bill, but, you know, hopefully, little by little.
But that needs to be changed.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, the stable parents, stable grandparents, stable, you know, what you want is to raise this child healthy so that we have another generation of healthy children. They're our future, you know, and that's really what all we want is to see our next generation,
right?
Running this world healthy, with healthy people and good people, and it's very scary to see how things are right now when you're on the inside and you see all the horrible things. I want to thank you, Ronnie, so much for being here, speaking on behalf of Allie, and for Allie for sharing your story to us. We are rooting for you, for both of you. I am, and I know we have so many people backing you to get Grayson's law passed, and I believe we will, at least part of it. And if we don't get full, we'll keep fighting. I know that's my mission.
Absolutely.
And
we will never,
again,
we will never give up. We will not
never
give up.
Mm-hmm. I have to close out the show, Ronnie, so thank you so much.
Thank you for having
for being
me.
My guest. My pleasure. And it's been so great to have met you. And I hope that we meet at happier occasions down the road. I'm going to meet you right now. I have a lot of thanking to do. Thank you, Darlene, for always being a great support and calling in. Marianne, I'm sorry we lost you. I want to thank Joe Koch for giving me this Blog Talk Radio time. To Charlie for helping me set up my show, being my co-host in the beginning, and then throwing me out there to do my own thing. To my listeners, to my supporters, to all my fellow advocators out there, my FACTS family, again, the Court Travesty family, Blog Detective parent family. I'm so happy to have, unfortunately, through Grayson, I got to meet all of you, and it's unfortunate, but we are going to make sure that Grayson's law gets passed all the way through and implemented, because that's the most important part. I want to, again, thank Ronnie and Allie. I know this is traumatic. Painful, but, you know, Allie still shared her story, and Ronnie still came on as my guest tonight. Again, thank you. I want to just, I was asked by Marianne to just mention about the 2022 retreat for alienated parents and grandparents. It's going to be at the Resolution Center of Jacksonville. Led by Dr. Mark David Rossman. And this is going to be a retreat, April 22 to 24. And you can reach out to Mary Ann Petrie, M as a Mary, A-R-Y-N-A-N-N, Petrie, P-E-T-R-I-3 at gmail.com. You can also reach out to Mark David Rosman, MarkDavidRos, as in San, E, M as in Mary, .com/workshops. Feel free to reach out to them if you are interested. Again, we will never give up. We will never stop fighting. And God bless. Have a wonderful night.
With a little perseverance, you can get things done. Sight of blind adherence that has conquered some. Nobody wants to know you now. Nobody wants to show you how. You're lost and on your own. You can never surrender. And if you're back on me, you hold. You can never. You can see, you can see light. Cause no one can say.